joining the show. We had you on a little bit earlier this morning. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning, sir.
Good morning again, guys.
Thanks for checking back with us. Wanted to get your thoughts. Earlier, we talked about the legislative lawsuit that the legislature has filed against Governor Dayton, had some developments in that. If you missed that, go grab the podcast. But I also wanted to get your thoughts on yesterday's activity in the Supreme Court. The big one, obviously, being the reinstatement, at least in portions of Trump's travel ban.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just heard Pete Hegseth in the previous segment, and I think Pete did a pretty good job of summarizing, you know, what the court did. I mean, it is a victory for the president, but in typical Roberts Court fashion, it wasn't a 100% victory. The Roberts Court hallmark of Chief Justice Roberts is never get dragged too far into very controversial political issues, which is kind of funny considering that it's the Supreme Court, it's sometimes inevitable. So it's a little bit of a murky ruling. It does reinstate the ban, but there are exceptions. And it talks about, you know, if your student's coming here to university, if you're coming here on an employment visa, a number of different reasons. Then they have this bona fide relationship with somebody, or, you know, in the U.S., and they try to define it as, you know, a spouse or a parent. So it's a little bit, I think there's going to be further interpretation in the courts in the coming months until the court finally does actually hear the arguments, oral arguments on the ban in October and make a decision. So I think this isn't the last to be said about the so-called travel ban. But the Supreme Court did, as Pete said, demonstrate that they do read and understand the U.S. Constitution, unlike some of the lower courts that have been coming out with, in my opinion, purely political opinions on the executive order. So I think that this is kind of a measured response from the court and an appropriate one.
Tell me if my sort of layperson take on this is accurate, or if I'm missing something. The way I took it yesterday, being the unanimous ruling, was more just the Supreme Court saying, yes, the commander in chief has the authority to institute these types of orders in the interest of national security. However, they did put some restrictions on it. That bona fide relationship thing, I think, is something that is, that's going to be sort of the next battle, where that's going to have to get defined via court cases, what qualifies or constitutes a bona fide relationship. But in the fall, we're going to take up more of the merits of this particular ban itself. Is that an accurate way to describe what's going on here?
That's a very accurate way to describe. And, you know, keep in mind that, you know, the ban was supposedly a 90-day ban. So, you know, it could be possible, you know, it's somewhat of a moot point by the time they hear it in October. But I do think what's relevant here is to what extent the president has the authority to issue this type of executive order. And so I think that's why the court is still going to hear this, even after maybe possibly the ban would be lifted. And I do hope that the court gets to this issue that the lower courts focused on in their decisions to issue injunctions preventing the ban from taking effect, which is going back to what candidate Trump was saying in terms of a ban on Muslims, and using that as the basis rather than contemporaneous statements about the reasons for it, and going back to the six countries that were singled out. I hope they reach that in their ultimate decision as to the merits of the relevance that those statements can be given.
Had a couple of other news items coming out of the Supreme Court yesterday. The case involving the baker who didn't want to bake for a gay wedding, and the decision to not hear the concealed carry case coming out of California. I'll defer to you and your expertise. What, beyond the travel ban, what did you feel like was the bigger story coming out of the Supreme Court yesterday?
Well, I think there were three decisions total. One, the denial of the decision not to hear the California case, and unfortunately, there's really nothing we can glean from that because the court doesn't issue any sort of memorandum as to the reasons why they declined to take a case, and so all we have is, you know, the lower court's ruling stands on that. When the other two cases deal with, you know, the whole, you know, the First Amendment, you know, freedom of religion issue. We have the Baker case. This was an inevitable case. You know, when they had the case to Obergefell v. Hodges, where they said same-sex marriage, Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, same-sex marriage is the law of the land. There was some dicta in there that talked about they didn't address this issue, almost setting it up for this next decision. So my thought is right now, you know that you've got three solid votes in favor of this of a religious exception, which would be Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch, in my opinion. Roberts probably leans that way. The real test is going to be Justice Kennedy, which way he goes. Interestingly enough, he wrote the original opinion, so he may, and so maybe because he was contemplating it in the opinion, maybe he, that's, it was kind of a tell as to where he was going with it. So, I kind of think maybe they'll carve it out just like they did a religious freedom exception under Obamacare in a Hobby Lobby case. So that's kind of my prediction on that, but I could be completely wrong. And then the final religious case was this Missouri church that was denied a grant for playground funding because they were, there was a playground that was, was owned by a church, and the court said no, doesn't matter that they're, it's owned by a church, they're entitled to have the same opportunities to fund their playground through the state grant that any other playground would be.
Talking with lawyer Jeff O'Brien, before we let you go, let's revisit quickly the out of Channel 5 judge orders temporary funding for state legislature. Chief Judge John Guthman, 2nd Judicial District, ordered a mandatory injunction requiring the state budget commissioner take all steps necessary to provide continuing funding for the Minnesota Senate and Minnesota House of Representatives. The judge has yet to make a decision on the legislator's lawsuit against the governor's use of the line item veto to strike their funding. And again, we talked about it earlier, but we'll go back there briefly. Hey, were you surprised at all that he didn't make a decision yet? Does that change your opinion of how this is going to go down at all?
No, I mean, ultimately, as I said before, ultimately, this is an issue that's going to be decided by the Minnesota Supreme Court, whether the judge or the parties certify the question to the court, in a short-term basis, or whether it just goes up on appeal. But there's a quote that's in the Pioneer Press article from Judge Guthman, who I think asked very relevant questions of both sides in terms of, the limits of difference of two different provisions. But he says, it is the duty of the courts to interpret constitutional provisions that appear irreconcilable and attempt to reconcile and harmonize them. So that's really what's going on here, is we've got the governor digging his heels in on a line item veto, the legislature digging its heels in on the provisions in the Minnesota Constitution authorizing the legislative branch, and now it's up for the third branch of government, which is the courts, to determine, okay, what's the interplay between them. So I think this is still going to be a pretty fast-track case. I think that the circumstances merit that, and so we'll have an answer in pretty short order, but I think the judge is. I think he's doing a good job right now in terms of dealing with a very unique and difficult situation.
Yeah, and I expect this will get wrapped up pretty quickly based on the way that it's gone so far and the arguments and questions that we've heard. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
I'll talk to you soon.